Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
For you, Russ Brown. He's been a business broker and a consultant for many years. He's been directly or indirectly involved in all aspects of buying, selling, and brokering of hundreds of operating businesses. He's the president of RDS Associates Incorporated and also the president of Business Book Press. He's the author of two books that I'm holding in my hand. One of them, which we're going to use a lot today, is called Preparing Your Business for Sale, and the other one is Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. Russ, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back, always is. And also, as I mentioned earlier in the hour, folks, Russ is a member of our Brain Trust. Russ, for the last two or three weeks, we've been talking, the last two or three visits, I should say, we've been talking about different ways to value businesses. And we use the rule of thumb method, which was which actually had several different components in it, several different ways, several different rules of thumb to evaluate the value of business. And then we talked about the asset valuation method. Then we talked about the market comparison method, and the last time you were here, we talked about using the present value of future earnings.
That's right.
And so that brings us up to the capitalization rate.
That's right.
Capitalization method, I should say.
The capitalization of current net earnings.
All right.
And that's the method that I strongly recommend. And basically, that method, in one manner, shape, or form, is used by almost every business broker, business valuator, and even the government in valuing small businesses.
Yeah, you point out in your book that the SBA and the IRS both use this method, or prefer to use this method and recommend this method.
That's right. And of course, in the IRS case, you know, when they're trying to determine the value of a business for state purposes,
mm-hmm.
and things of that nature, this is there's always small wrinkles on the way that that these organizations do this and the way different individuals do it. Because, again, we talked about the fact that valuing a business is not a science, but it's an art.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some things that are sort of tried and true and everybody agrees to, but there's a few other things that fall into the gray area.
Couldn't we say, though, Russ, I hear what you're saying when you say that it's not a science, it's an art, but couldn't we say that at least some of the methods, maybe not the rule of thumb, but in some of the other methods that we've talked about, that there are components of those valuation methods that are more scientific than and more mathematical and based on things that you can actually nail to the wall, so to speak, rather than being more subjective. There are components to each one of those that give you some kind of a concrete give you some concrete information.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and it's more than 50%. I mean, it's the bulk of what you do in valuing a business will involve mathematics, counting numbers, and using simple formulas,
or some kind of comparable information that's if in the case of the market value, the market comparison method, but the final decision, the final price that you come up with, the final price that you pay or that you take for your business, that number winds up being a little bit more artful than absolutely being able to come up with a finite number based on math.
Right, and you got to remember, we're talking about two. When you talk about the business valuation, there's really two parts to that. One is that where you put an estimated value on a business based on certain particulars that you choose and how you do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a judgment. But the ultimate value of the business will be the value that a ready, willing, and able buyer will pay for that business in a free and open market transaction.
Mm-hmm.
That's the value. So almost independent of the number that you come up with when you sit down with pad and pencil, if the buyer is unwilling to pay that price, then that's not the value of the business. So that's where the subjectivity and the art comes into the marketplace. You have to understand where the marketplace is at that particular point in time, what kind of demand there is for that type of business, what kind of of financing is available, mm-hmm. either from the seller themselves or through banks or other organizations, venture mm-hmm. capitalists. So there's a lot of factors that play into this. That's why you can't kind of just throw it into a into one big formula and turn the crank and come out the other end with a number.
For example, just to make that point there, you mentioned owner financing or seller financing, maybe I should say, and a bank financing. If you have to have financing, which most purchasers do, you can probably afford to pay the owner, and probably will have to pay the owner, a higher value for their company if they finance it for you or finance a goodly portion of the business, as opposed to if you went and got your own financing at a bank or somewhere else.
That's right, because of course in the seller's mind, which is correct, money now is worth more than money later.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have to finance the purchase, they're going to want more money for the business. For them to be able to take that money over a period of time. Of course, there's interest involved as
right.
well on that money.
Mm-hmm. Now, this will probably be the last show that we'll do on this particular series, because we should be able to wrap up the capitalization rate. I'm not sure if we'll have another one or not. But what I think we ought to say, Russ, at this point is that even though we've come to this fifth method of valuing a business, and it's the one that you and I agree is the best, and it's the one the government agrees is the best, but if you're really going to get a good idea of what that business is worth, it's probably a good idea to use all the methods, some degree of all the methods, isn't it?
Sure, that certainly makes a lot of sense. Just to double check and cross check yourself,
yep.
to see if one valuation makes more sense than another.
For example, when you get a real estate appraisal on a commercial property, they'll use three different methods: the cost method, replacement method, the market method, and the income approach. All three of those approaches. Stand by. We're going to be right back after these messages. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russ Brown is our special guest. All right, we're back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. And our good friend Russ Brown is our special guest. And we're talking about valuing businesses. And Russ is the president of RDS and Associates and the author of these two books that we're working with. One of them that we're spending the most time in the day, Preparing Your Business for Sale, is an outstanding book. It's just absolutely, it's a textbook, basically, folks. It's everything you'd ever want to know about getting your business ready to sell. And then the other book is called Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Book. Buying or selling a book. Well, of course, we wouldn't mind selling a book too, right, Russ?
Yeah, that's right.
Buying or selling a business, and Russ, it is Monday, and I'm the words aren't coming as easily as they will on Thursday, so bear with me. Russ, tell us where we can get your books.
Well, you can get it on my website, which is www.businessbookpress.com. You can get them in bookstores, and if it's not a good quality bookstore, they may not have them. So what you have to do is ask the manager there to order it for you, and they
yeah.
can easily order it.
And so if they order the book, then they become a quality bookstore. Is that
Absolutely.
What you're saying?
That's my criteria.
I got you. Okay.
and lastly, I hate to even mention their name, but Amazon.com has the book. So.
Well, you know, we do what we got to do. If that's where they've got to go to get the book, that's fine. But now if they buy it from you, and they buy both of the books, you give them a good discount, won't you?
Well, I give them a better discount than Amazon.com does for even buying the books individually.
Yeah.
But
okay.
if you buy them together, you get an even better deal.
Okay. Check that out, folks, and give us the website again.
www.businessbookpress.com.
Okay, thanks. When we took the break, I was talking about, I was about to run out of time there, and I was talking about the way real estate appraisers, When they appraise commercial property, they use three approaches. They use the replacement approach or the cost approach. They use the market approach, which is the comparables approach, and then they use, which is an example of past sales, and then they use the income approach, which is largely what we're talking about now as we're talking about the capitalization method of valuing a business. And so that I was saying that to use that as an example, Russ, of the fact that if you're buying a business, even though you and I agree with that the capitalization method is the best method and the most widely used, that you really ought to cross-reference yourself with that approach with at least a couple of other approaches. And the other approaches are not that difficult to do. I mean, the asset method and the present value future earnings, all those are things that are not that difficult, especially if you've got a book like yours to use to help you do that.
That's right. And you know, what you're saying makes some sense because you certainly want to add up the value of the market value of all your assets in your business that you could liquidate,
mm-hmm.
and compare that to the value you've come up using the capitalization of earnings approach.
Right.
And if it turns out that it puts more money in your pocket to liquidate your business, well, first of all, you probably don't have a very good business, but certainly you want to do it then.
Well, that might be the case, though. I mean, whether you like it or not, that might be the case.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the rule of thumb method just gets you sort of in the right ballpark as far as it's a sanity check, basically, on
right.
the number you come up with in a present value approach.
Well, another thing, if you're selling your business, Russ, and you're not sure that you've got how valuable your business are, in fact, you might even be, if the business is not going great, and, you know, you probably need to do yourself a favor and do some of these valuations yourself so that you realize, and as you said a minute ago, you don't fool yourself into thinking that your business is worth a lot more. You and I both have approached people about selling their business, and they say, yeah, I'll take $1 million for it, and they really would like to sell, and they really believed in their mind that their business is worth $1 million. When you get into it, maybe it's worth $130,000.
That's right.
Like that.
Well, it's not only do they come up with the price that they say, gee, that's what I'd take for it.
Yeah.
Most business sellers, when they're getting ready to get out, they try to price the business on what they need.
That's right.
To go into retirement or go on to other
pay off
things.
Pay some debts.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I just had a call on Friday from someone who's considering using my evaluation services, and they've tentatively put a value on the business. And I said, well, good. I can work, you know, I'll look at that and see, you know, compare it to what I come up with.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how did you arrive at that? He says, well, I sat down, I figured out, well, here's what I'm making now. Here's what the condo in Florida is going to cost.
And the yacht, don't forget the yacht payment.
My insurance payments. And so he went through all his expenses.
Yeah.
And that's got to be, therefore, that's got to be what the business is worth.
Unrelated, folks.
Totally unrelated.
Unrelated to what your business is worth. We're going to get into the actual capitalization method when we come back after these messages, folks. It's 29 after the hour. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russ Brown is our guest. We are back. It's 33 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is Russ Brown. He's the president of RDS and Associates Incorporated, and out of Niantic, Connecticut, and he's our business broker expert, helps us to understand how to buy and sell businesses. And Russ, let's talk about the capitalization method. Let's get right into how that works.
Okay. The capitalization of basically what you've got to do is determine what your current net earnings are of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Then you decide on a capitalization rate and divide that into the current net earnings.
Right.
And that gives you a number that you then add to, depending on the particular business, things like inventory, real estate, cash if that's going to transfer with the business, and other current assets
Now tell us again what you do with those.
You add them into that number that you come up with.
Okay, now let's make it easy for everyone. Let's say that the net earnings is $100,000,
mm-hmm.
and the capitalization rate is 10%.
That's right.
You change
the 10% to a decimal,
right?
Which is 0.1,
right?
And you divide that in to the $100,000,
mm-hmm.
and the valuation of that company is $1 million,
right?
Plus the inventory, if it has inventory. Most businesses have something of the inventory.
Right.
Does not include things like furniture, fixtures, and equipment. That's part of the million.
Mm-hmm.
Does not include the customer list, the patents, and things of that nature. All the intangible assets.
All that's included in the $1 million.
Right, and the goodwill of the company, the name, and so on.
Right.
Just those separate hard assets, such as inventory, that can be sold, easily sold separately.
What about accounts receivable?
Accounts receivable are generally separate.
Okay.
Again, I'm going to try not to keep using the word generally, but it's a very important word because everything I'm saying is all subject to negotiation. Mm-hmm. That $1 million could include the inventory if that's what happened during the negotiation process.
Mm-hmm.
It may not include the inventory if the seller insisted that it's $1 million plus inventory. These are things that you have to, the decisions you have to make up front. And this is where professional valuation people help you out.
The other thing is that maybe the value, the capitalization rate method, capitalization method has given you a value of $1 million, and the generally accepted practice is to add the $100,000 worth of inventory on top of that. So now it's $1 million, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And should we add the accounts receivable in there on top of that?
Yes, which
okay.
What I would do, and for most businesses when I did evaluation and what I tell you in my book, is to do the process, that mathematical process we just went through, and then you add in the tangible assets that can be sold on the open market readily. And that
okay.
would be things like, we just said, if there's cash, like if you're selling the corporation and you're going to sell it with a checking account intact and that
right.
sort of thing, okay, there's going to be some cash in it. So you add that.
So could you not just use the current asset line on the balance sheet?
Well, it has to be whatever's currently there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And your accounts receivable and inventory. Now, of
right.
course, accounts receivable are going to be adjusted because not all accounts receivable are going to be collected.
Which is where I was going a minute ago when I said you were talking about how it has to be negotiated. You know, even though you've got $100,000 in inventory, all of that inventory is not Class A inventory. Some of it is going to be obsolete. Some of it is going to be defective. And, I mean, every business has that kind of inventory. So once the due diligence process has been gone through and you've identified all the inventory, then it might be $50,000 instead of $100,000. But your point is whatever the number is that you are giving, you are attributing to valuable inventory, that's the number that you add to the number that you create that was created by using the capitalization method.
That's exactly right.
And therefore the accounts receivable is the same way because as you said, all AR is not going to be collectible.
That's right.
All right.
Right, and because just think about this for a minute. Let's say that you've agreed to buy the business, and you say, "Well, at the current time you're looking at the business, there's an inventory of say $200,000 in this
mm-hmm.
$1 million business." So you're saying, "I want to buy the business, and on the day of closing, I'll give you the $1 million, but it has to include your inventory." Well, the seller might say, "Okay, fine," and on the day of the business, find out that the seller has sold off all his inventory and is now down to zero,
mm-hmm.
and he gets his $1 million, and you have no inventory. So you really have, it's a realistic. You know, these things have happened, and you have to spell all this out in the purchase and sale agreement as to how that inventory is going to be valued.
Right, and typically you start out with that as we've talked in other shows, Russ. You have to start out by spelling that out with the letter of intent process.
That's right. And the negotiation process starts on the day you meet, if you're a buyer, the day you meet the business seller,
right.
and vice versa.
Okay, what about other tangible assets? What about, like, the equipment?
That's generally included in that $1 million.
Vehicles?
In the $1 million.
And real estate?
Not included.
Okay.
That's definitely separate.
See, it's a little trickier than you might think, folks. Everything, some things are in, some things are not in, and that's the tricky part. That's the reason he said it's maybe more of an art than it is a science, but there is some science involved. We'll talk a little bit more about both of those when we come back after these messages. It's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Russ Brown is our special guest and our good friend. Stay with us, please. Welcome back, heroes. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you would like to join us and ask a question, make a comment, we'd be glad to have you. 888-822-8255. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Be sure to check that out and drop me a note if you want to send me an email. And if you have a question about anything that you'd like for Russ to answer, you can let me know, or you can go directly to him. Russ, give us your website again.
www.businessbookpress.com. And you can always reach me by phone also at 800-363-8867.
All right, good. And if you ever need to contact Russ and you don't know how, please let me know. And by the way, you can go to the website and check him out, his bio out on our Brain Trust section. Russ, a minute ago, we were continuing our discussion about the capitalization method of valuing a business. And I used a 10% example. I was trying to just get the math done so people would see how it would work, so the audience would see how it would work. And I used $100,000 net operating net income and 10% cap rate. We divide that to 0.1 into $100,000, and that's it gave us $1 million value. And we talked about all the other stuff that goes along with that. But you have a point that you want to make about that 10%, don't you?
Well, sure. It's unrealistically low. It's too small a number,
and
there is a way to arrive at that. And we can talk. We're going to talk about that right now, and I'll tell you the criteria you should use. And the other thing that I also want to mention is the earnings of the company or the profit of the company that you're dividing the number into. Mm-hmm. That is not what's on your IRS statement mm-hmm. or your financial statement. It's a reconstruction of your earnings. And I cover that extensively in my books. And I think perhaps the subject of a future show, we can talk about that some more.
Yeah, in fact, next time you come back, we'll finish up with the capitalization method this hour. And next time you come back, in another couple of weeks or so, let's do the recasting of the statement to be able to come up with this number.
Okay. So let's presume the recast is done. You've got your $100,000 of recast earnings. Now what you have to do is to come up with a capitalization rate, that percentage that you're going to change to a decimal mm-hmm. and divide into the number. And it basically ranges, it's basically five different numbers, that ranges of numbers that you can come up with. And it depends on how long you've been in business. This is what, by the way, this is where the art comes in, although mm-hmm. I've written this down in my book so that you can
it's on
go
page
through this.
It's on page 49.
You got it. You've read my book.
I have.
and what you do is, if you can tell by the math, perhaps, the lower the rate, the higher the valuation on the business, because you're dividing one number into another. You're dividing mm-hmm. the rate into another number.
So in other words, a 10% capitalization rate will create a higher purchase price or sale price than a 15% cap rate.
Right.
And tell us the reason why it works like that.
Mathematics.
what I was thinking though, Russ, is that the more stable the business is, the less risky it is, the lower the cap rate based on everything referencing back to this
right.
to this like a Federal Reserve a U.S. Government security or something like that.
That's right. So basically what you start with, you say, all right. For a given amount of investment, what can I get in the safest investment in the world, which is United States T-bills mm-hmm. or even 30-year bonds or something of that nature. And so you look at that, and let's say that is around 6%, which I think it is roughly today's rate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's roughly 6%. So that's your baseline number. You'll never be below that.
Low risk, low return.
That's right. So that number becomes your baseline. Now what you do is you start looking at how long has the business been established, what kind of trade positions do you have, do you have good, solid customer base, is it a business that could withstand the loss of principal without having a real negative effect on the company, are certain employees critical to that business? What's the nature of the industry it's in? Is the industry declining? Did it make buggy whips, for example, and not too much to call for that now, and that industry has declined long ago? But or is it in a hot new industry like the internet industry, which would lower the cap rate? Is it a personal service organization? And things of that nature. So you have to look at all of those factors. And what will happen is basically the minimum that you would have as a capitalization rate is somewhere in that 15 to 20% range.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to be looking at a risk factor of around 10% as a minimum. And you put that with that 6% I just talked about, and you got about 16%.
Right.
And it can go all the way up to somewhere around 50% when you combine it together.
If it's a really shaky business,
right.
This is the part that I think that throws people off a little bit. They think they without doing the math, they think a higher percentage means they're going to pay a higher price, but that's not really the case.
No.
Yeah.
It's the opposite.
Yeah. Stand by, folks. We're going to finish up the hour, talk a little bit more about how these percentages work and what numbers you should be expecting to use. It's 50 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Russ Brown. All right, we are back. It's 54 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want to remind you that Marguerite Kirk is going to be our guest in the next hour. She's going to be talking to us about her new book that's titled 10 Commandments of Small Business Success. Marguerite has not been with us before. Looking forward to introducing you to her and letting you meet her, and I think you're going to enjoy her visit. We're talking with Russ Brown, our good friend and a member of the Brain Trust. Russ is the president of RDS Associates Incorporated out of Niantic, Connecticut, and also the Business Book Press out of the same location. And his book is Strategies for Successfully Buying and Selling a Business, and that's one book. The second book is Preparing Your Business for Sale, out of which we're talking about valuation methods of businesses, and specifically capitalization rates. That's what we're talking about right now. And Russ, you were talking about the different percentages that you use. How do you come up with how do you know the number to divide into the income of this business? And you were saying that the low number would be somewhere around 15 to 20%.
That's right.
But now that low number is going to create the highest purchase price.
That's right.
And the reason for that is the more stable the business is, the more rock solid it is. For example, Russ, let's say it's not a mature industry. It's an industry that's still growing. They've got a great location. The business is making a nice profit. And it is being run largely by employees, not so much driven by the owner. Would that be a good scenario for paying the maximum rate for?
Well, that's one of them. And so basically the bottom line, the best we can say, is that the lower the risk, the lower the capitalization rate, and the higher the value on the business.
Good. That's a good way to say it.
Okay, and if you want to do a little algebra, everybody talks about multiples of earnings. Well, when you divide one number into another, that number, that decimal that I've been talking about,
mm-hmm.
let's say that 10% that we convert to a decimal, which
mm-hmm.
is 0.1, what you can do to get your multiple number, which a lot of people want to work with, they don't like dividing one number into another, they like
right.
multiplying whole numbers.
Right.
So divide the 0.1 into 1, and you come up with 10.
Right.
So that becomes your multiple. So that's
right.
10 times earnings. So
right.
if you're using a 10% capitalization rate, that 10% is divided into 1, it comes up with the number 10, and that 10 times earnings equals the valuation we were just talking about.
Still gives you the same $1 million.
So whether or not you divide 0.1 into $100,000 or multiply $100,000 times 10, you come up with $1 million, either way. So typically, to think about this a little clearer, the multiplication rates or the typically run for small businesses in the sale and determining a value typically run anywhere from 2 to 7 times earnings in that range.
Mm-hmm.
2 to 7. And you can, again, work backwards and get your percentages, and you're going to find that percentage comes out to be somewhere around 20%, 15 to 20%, all the way on up to 50%
mm-hmm.
is your capitalization rate.
Okay.
I hope I haven't put a lot of people confused here. A little bit of math here involved. But that's where those multiples come in.
Well, the purpose of our visit today, Russ, is to introduce people to this concept and give them a little bit of a working knowledge so that they can contribute if they work with a business broker or if they buy your book. When they buy your book, they have a little better understanding of it. Russ, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. Thank you very much. You did a great job helping us understand the capitalization method of valuing a business. We'll see you next time.
Okay, Jim. Thanks very much.
Bye. Russ Brown, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. Because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.